I believe we have Perry Schaefer on the phone. Are you there, Perry?
Yes, Jeff, I'm here. Thank you.
Hi, and welcome to Energy Matters.
Thank you.
Perry is president of Environmental Services, Inc. of Mandan, and quite an active ambassador for the lignite industry. Perry, first of all, why don't you tell us just a little bit about your company, Environmental Services, Inc.?
Sure.
You've been around a while.
Yeah, I started the company back in 1989, so it's been around quite a while already, but we cover five states and parts of Canada, and we sell engineered products to the power and heavy industrial markets. We started our processes in coal and that type of thing, and we've moved into other industries now, but coal is still the basis of what we do.
Absolutely, and I know you've been an associate member on the board of the Lignite Energy Council for several years now. Can you tell me... Your company obviously works with the mines and plants. So maybe can you just kind of fill us in on your relationship there?
Sure. Yeah. When I first started the company, I had left MDU. I worked in one of their power plants years and years ago, and saw an opportunity to create a business to support the product and the services that need to be done to keep these plants running efficiently and all those kinds of things, and started working with them and developed, a good following in that end of the world, and started selling all kinds of different types of products and services to the industry, and then got involved and solicited by Lignite Energy Council to be a member, and thought it was time for me to give back to the energy sector that I've made my living off of, and try to do the best I can to promote coal properly and tell the truth about coal. And obviously, I spend some time in D.C., as have you in the past, and trying to tell the truth and to figure out what we can do to keep coal as a main player and an inexpensive player for the market consumer.
Indeed. It is quite remarkable. I believe the Lignite Energy Council has something in the neighborhood of 300 associate members, so it's an incredibly important business in the state of North Dakota and to our economy.
338 members that would be considered supplier contractors that I would be responsible for and to, and something like 38 states that we reach out to now, and I've ran for the board of directors six times, and I've been reelected six times. So it's kind of nice that people realize what you do in your off hours for our industry.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it 338 supplier contractor members. I mean, my goodness, I think the number I heard, the lignite industry has collectively something like a $3 billion impact in North Dakota. Maybe it's more nowadays.
That's about right. People kind of have a misconception of that. It's a huge sector of income for our state. There's no question. But it's worldwide. I mean, just my little company alone, we have suppliers from Denmark and from England, from the upper Asian countries. We have suppliers from basically all over the world that bring product into this marketplace in the five states that we work with, and just to try to help keep product properly priced and also to have the kind of reach that we have to have in order to do some of the things we have to do.
Well, you do have to look.
It's a lot.
You do have to look elsewhere nowadays because it's increasingly high tech. I know that.
Yes, it is. We do have to look outside the day-to-day things, that's for sure.
Well, let's talk about, your ambassadorship for the coal industry. You
sure.
You mentioned you had been in D.C. a few times, and obviously there's been a major shift in the direction of policy there. We've gone from, I think, quite literally a war on coal. Those would be my choice of words. But now there's an effort to put on hold and roll back many of those anti-coal regulations from the Obama era. Even with that, though, I still get a sense the coal industry hasn't relaxed at all, and so we're still kind of continuing on this direction to pursue ever cleaner technologies.
Well, that's a really good point. I agree with you that there was a attack definitely on the coal industry. That's the, in my opinion, the sole reason for the CO2 rule is to eliminate coal. One of the things that I am pushing the LEC to do is to basically run parallel paths. We need to do research and development to figure out how to use CO2 in an economical and a way that makes sense in terms of making money for the distribution lines and all of those kinds of things, but also to eliminate and to fight for eliminating the whole CO2 rule. Because to be very honest with you, if you look through the Clean Power Plan, it doesn't mention CO2 at all. I mean, it's not a poisonous gas, in my opinion. And I think it's something that, as an industry, and something that I'm very passionate about, that we need to really push, push our legislators, push our federal delegation. We've met with the EPA. I think you were maybe with us on that particular trip. It's time that we look at what's true and what's not true out there. You know, Jeff, we're a very clean industry, which has been a miscalculation by a lot of people over the years. The opposition has done a very good job of making it look like that we're something we aren't. We got maybe 10 years behind that ball, behind that curve, and I think now from an LEC perspective, we're doing an extremely good job with the EERC and several other organizations to help show and prove show the public what we really are with respect to coal production, coal usage, those types of things.
Indeed. North Dakota has a Lignite Research Council. I've sat in on a couple of the most recent meetings. Can you give us maybe a rundown of some of the more promising research projects that have been funded?
Well, there's quite a few of them. The Lignite Research Council has invested, you know, in several different types of projects about that work with capturing and utilizing CO2. The Oil and Gas Research Council has done the same thing. And there is a definite need for using CO2. Dakota Gas, for example, has been producing CO2 since the 80s and has a very profitable market that they sell CO2 into. So it's certainly something that from a businessman's perspective that we should be doing, but we shouldn't be forced to sequester CO2 because it's a poisonous gas. So again, I think there's two parallel paths for us to be going down, and EERC has been premier research facility, basically a world leader with lignite-based ideas and what have you. Lignite is a very, very easy product to change from coal to CO2. So there's a big advantage to developing those types of technologies.
You know, one of the projects that I thought, you know, it almost seemed like a no-brainer when I heard it, you know, that, okay, coal plants produce a little bit of waste heat and they produce CO2. Why not put a greenhouse next to a coal plant? And that's one of the projects we're looking at.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is, actually. And, you know, again, it comes down to being able to figure out a market for that greenhouse. And sometimes the money gets behind the idea. You know, we have to... Those two items have to catch up, but it's an excellent idea. It's an absolutely excellent idea, and there are a couple of different projects, on the list that we're all looking at, and we'll see how they come out.
Yeah, most of the projects that are funded, there's some private sector skin in the game, so to speak. That they're generally matching grants rather than, you know, fully funding the research.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's what it's all about. I mean. Again, I mean, we have to start telling the truth about the product and about what coal does, and that's one of the things that we got behind the eight ball on, in my opinion. And in the state of North Dakota, I think people understand what coal does and how it works and what it does for our economy, and that we are a very clean product and a clean producing product. But there's so many other things we can do with coal, and research, money for research and development is one thing. And then fighting the whole CO2 rule about poisonous gas is a whole other discussion.
Yeah, let's tell the story. Let's not exaggerate things.
Exactly.
You know, we mentioned that $3 billion impact in North Dakota, so it's obviously important. Perry, if you were to talk to the average person on the street who wanted to help support the coal industry, what What would you suggest they do?
I would suggest that they go to a power plant and they get a tour and they see exactly what we do with respect to when they hit that light switch, or they jump in the shower and they got the hot water going, and or they're making their bagel in the morning. They understand what electricity is and where it comes from, and the actual process that it takes to produce an electron of electricity. And then also to look at the truth behind what's going on with some of the renewables that we have out there. You know, if we're, as a taxpayer, funding some of those renewables and expecting another product to compete with it, we have to look at all the facts and all the information behind it. And then to add to that, if you look at 30 years ago compared to today, coal plants are immensely cleaner than they were 30 years ago. I've been in the industry since 1982, and things have changed drastically since 1982.
Indeed they have, and they're, as they say, getting increasingly clean.
Yes, well, absolutely.
Perry, we are going to get into that a little bit further about this the wind topic. We're going to talk with Justin Dever a little bit about that later, because that's been an issue in front of the Empower Commission, so we'll be talking about that.
Justin's a good man. He certainly understands the industry. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the all-of-the-above type attitude is fine. I don't have any issues with that whatsoever. I think that it needs to be a level playing field, however. Most of the time, the consumer doesn't understand where some of the dollars come from. And if you look at coal versus other forms of energy, coal is what's got us here today, and it's been a very inexpensive product for the consumer to purchase, and I think we need to look at that big picture.
All right. Well, Perry, I want to thank you for your time today, and I want to also thank you for what you do for the lignite industry. Keep up
Absolutely.
The good work out there.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you, Perry.
Yep. Take care.